continuing our sugya of kinyanim and halacha. So we spoke 2 weeks ago a little bit about das kinyan. Last week we spoke a little bit about maisa kinyan, but specifically we're focusing on metaltla. We'll move to the next type of item that can be sold, and that's of course karka. So the halachas of kinyani karka are very different from the halachas of kinyani metaltla, at least in many respects. Here the Mishnah tells us explicitly what the three mechanisms of kinyan karka are. The Mishnah in the first Bechel Sechus Kedushin, karka is nikna, v'kesef, b'shtar, v'chazocha. The Gemara lays out each one of these kinyanim from psukim. Kesef, pretty straightforward. Give me money. Shtar, also pretty straightforward. Writing a document, chazocha, a little bit more complicated, but it basically means to improve the karka in some way. Either to dig a hole in the karka, that's improving it. Or to fix a fence in the karka, that improves it, etc. Anything that improves the karka, the tikkun karka, that's considered to be a kinyan chazocha. So these are the three basic mechanisms of kinyanim. Let's see if we can try to understand a little bit about how each one of these works, some of the parameters of these kinyanim, and also how they relate to other areas of kinyanim as well. So the first kinyan in terms of kinyan kesef seems pretty straightforward. I give you money, and you give me a piece of land. What could be complicated about that? So the Gemara is a chiddush in Rav Metzia that when I give you money for a karka, I don't have to give you the entire value of the karka. So let's say I want to buy a $500,000 house from you, so I don't have to give you out $500,000. I give you a down payment, I give you a nickel, give you a pruta, and that's considered to be acceptable in order to be kind of the karka. The question is, how do you understand that? So if the halacha would have been that I have to pay you the value of the karka, okay, that I understand. But how in the world does kinyan kesef work? Is gzeres hakosav that you can be kind of subject because of yikna, you can be kind of karka with kesef, if I'm not even paying the full amount. So this was a major machlekes acharonim, as to how to be magda, what are the parameters of a kinyan kesef, in light of the fact that you're not really paying the full amount. So when the Perush in Cheshem Mishpat, the Sma, has the opening siman about kinyan karka, so the Sma is the following chiddush. The Sma says that the reality is that you are paying for the entire karka. There's no way to conceive of a kinyan karka without paying kinyan kesef and karka without paying for the full amount. Doesn't make any sense. So, but lemaisi you're not. So says the Sma, no, lemaisi you are. What's happening is as follows. It's as if, the halacha is making believe, it's as if I'm paying you the $500,000. Hello, what? You're now lending me back $499.95. So it's what really happened is really a twofold transaction here. There was a really given of there was a giving of the entire Shavis HaKarka, the entire value of the karka. Because short of giving the entire Shavis HaKarka, it's inconceivable for Kinyan Kesef to work. And then there was a hocus pocus that was as if you returned me minus the amount that you're actually going to keep. That was given to me as a halva, as a loan. And now I'm mechuyav to pay you back, but there is a loan. But in terms of conceptually, says the Sma, the only way to understand Kinyan Karka is what we call Kesef Shavis, the value, or Kesef Pirol, meaning the paying up the actual value of the land itself. So comes the Taz in his comments on the side of the Cheshem Mishpat, and the Taz says, doesn't understand what the Sma is saying. That's how Kinyan Kesef works. The only way to us to visualize Kinyan Kesef is Kesef Shavis, that has to actually be worth the value of the land. Says the Taz, Kedushin Yechiach. Says we know that there's another item that you buy, you don't have to use the word item, but another entity you could purchase with Kesef, and that's an Isha, the first Mishnah Kedushin, Isha Nikris B'Kesef. Not only is there a similarity that both Karka and an Isha is Nikris B'Kesef, but the whole source for Kedusha Isha is from Kinyan Kesef. The Torah says, Ki Yikach Ish Isha. The Torah says, Nasat, Kesef Asad B'Kach Mimeni. So it's a Gzer Shava. So the word Kicha appears in both places. The Gemara says, Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Ephron. That we derive, the Tashma Pen tells us that we derive the word Kicha, Kicha. Just as Kicha by Karka refers to Kesef Asad B'Kach Mimeni, so too, one of the methods of Kedushin is Kesef, i.e. Kicha. So that's how we practice Kedushin in Adayim Azad. The Mishnah says, the Maseches Kedushin, the first Mishnah, that Isha Nikris B'Kesef, V'Shava Kesef, that you don't have to give Kesef, you can even give Shava Kesef, something that's worth the value of Kesef. The Gemara learns that also from Pesukim, that Shava Kesef is Kesef. That's what we do. We give a ring, that's Shava Kesef. We invoke this Gzer Shava every marriage. So if that's the case, says the Taz, that Kedusha Kesef is basically the same as Kinyan Kesef Akarka, says the Taz, would you argue that when you're Mekadosh and Isha, so you're paying for the value of the woman, the woman's really worth $500,000? But you don't have $500,000 right now, so you're giving her a pruta, giving her a ring worth $100, and she's lending you back the rest, and now you're going to pay her back the rest. Hopefully, it doesn't make any sense. So says the Taz. So by Kiddusha Kesef, obviously that's not what's going on. Obviously, what's going on by Kiddusha Kesef is a symbolic gesture. It's what we call an Alacha Maisa Kinyan. It's just simply a symbolic statement. And the Torah says, when you give Kesef, what's the Shir Kesef? So that's what the Mishnah says in Bava Metzia, that the Shir Kesef in Kol Terkula is a Pruta. So just as the halacha is, let's say, if a person is a Nana from Hekdesh, if he uses something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, if he was a Nana more than a Pruta's worth, he has to bring a carbon. Let's say if a person gets into a dintar with somebody, so if it's more than a pruta, so then the bezin is going to listen to the case. And there are a lot of dinim that revolve around the shir pruta. So that's the shir pruta for kedushin also. That's the shir pruta for kinyan kesef, that it's a symbolic act. It's a maisa kinyan b'yama. It doesn't correspond to the value of the woman. It doesn't correspond to the value of the field. It's just simply the transferring of kesef from the kona to the makna. That affects a kinyan. So this is a very conceptual machlokes, has important ramifications, but a very conceptual machlokes in Sman d'Taz, the ABCs of how kinyan kesef for karka and by extension for other areas perhaps works as well. This idea that the Taz is raising for us, that kinyan kesef of kedushin and kinyan kesef of a karka are really go hand in hand, not only do we derive one from the other, but the halachas are identical, the lumdas, the parameters are identical. So this is very questionable. This may not necessarily be true. This may be a major machlokes in the Rishonim, just how closely related is the concept of kinyan kesef for kedushin and the concept of kinyan kesef for karka. Yes, it's true, we derive one from the other, but it may be a very loose type of a comparison. So this is the question, when we speak about some of the details of what constitutes kesef for the person of kinyan kesef, we may have to sometimes look to kedushin and see some similarities and see some differences. So there is a Gemara in Masechet Kedushin and Davav, where the Gemara speaks about the following question concerning kinyan kesef. If I want to buy land from you, so yes, it's true, I only have to give you a pruta. So what's the din if I give you the pruta, and I say to you, listen, I need the pruta back. So I want to buy this $500,000 piece of property. I'm giving you a pruta, but I'd like the pruta back, please. I'm giving it to you as a matana amanas tahachzir. So is that effective or not? Can I be kone karka with not only with kesef, not only am I paying less than the actual value of the karka, but I don't even want to give it to you for keeps. I wanted to give it to you as a matana amanas tahachzir. So the Gemara says beferish, that's okay. Was it the marava that the mecha kona, that if I give you the kesef, even though I'm taking it back in a moment, that still is effective for the purposes of a kinyan kesef. So the Gemara compares and contrasts that to kedushin. Whatever the person under the chuppah says to Skala, I'm giving you this ring, but I'm a little low on rings these days, I want the ring back. So Rebbe Kodesh is Amanas, you're going to return to me the ring. So the Gemara says, then it's no good. So the Gemara is drawing some kind of a distinction here between the standards of kesef for karka, in contrast to the standards of kesef for kedushin. For kinyan karka, matar amanas achzir is effective. For kedushin, matar amanas achzir is not effective. How do we understand that distinction? So Tosfos throws the hands up in Masechet Kedushin Davav and says it's impossible to understand the distinction. It doesn't make any sense. That kicha kicha mis de'efron, like in effect, like the Taz is saying, if it's good for one, it's good for the other. If it's no good for one, it's no good for the other. How can you arbitrarily distinguish between the standards, the parameters of kesef from one to the other? So Tosfos says al korchach, you have to say the pshat is as follows: that min haTorah. Avada nevada, the kedushin would be chal. Minat Torah matanam nas lahachzir is acceptable. So why is it no good for kedushin? It's only midirabbanim. What led Taisus to believe is derabbanim? Why derabbanim? Who derabbanim? Who made this derabbanim? So the Gemara is a very, very cryptic statement in kedushin davav. The Gemara says that the mecha kana, but the kedushin ain't a mekudesh. Yes, the fisha ain't a isha niklas bechalipin. The Gemara throws out from left field. The Gemara says. So he speaks about a kinyan chalipin. We haven't spoken about that yet. It's coming around the corner eventually. Kinyan chalipin is another kind of a mechanism of kinyan, based on the psukim of Megillas Rus, that I give you a handkerchief, I give you a shoe, I give you a watch, I give you a pen, I give you a kli, and in lieu of that kli, in exchange for that kli, so you're machnir, your land, your metalpin, whatever it is. So the Gemara says that chalipin doesn't work for Kedusha Isha, for some deep dark secret, unclear why. The Gemara says that chalipin won't work. So if I stand under the chuppah and I say to my kala, listen, I'm going to pull out a pen, I'm not giving you the pen for kesef, we're making the same way in Erev Pesach, you appoint you as a shaliach, same way that I'm buying the land from you with a kid of chalipin, shalafish nal, I'm giving you a pen and you should be mekudeshes to me. So the Gemara says that doesn't work. So Taisa says that what's the connection between that and Matanam and Astahachzer? Nothing really, except that people think that they're connected. Because a Kinyan Chalipin, so the Kohen gets his pen back. When we do Kinyan Chalipin under the Chuppah, not for the Kedusha, we do it by the Chos and Fish for the Ksub, of other things. So when I hand you the pen, I take it back in a second later. So Kinyan Chalipin doesn't work for Kedusha. If we're going to do a ring, I'm going to ask the Hachs here, even though I'm not calling it a Kinyan Chalipin, I'm calling it a Kinyan Kesef, but in people's eyes, it all looks the same. People are going to think, if the rabbi lets a Kinyan Kedusha, Kinyan Kesef, I'm going to ask the Hachs here. Then the next thing you know is that a Kinyan Chalipin will also be acceptable for Kedusha, which would be a terrible mistake. So therefore, with the Rabbanon, they did away with the Matan Mas Tahachzir. But according to Tosfos, conceptually, the whatever works for Karka works for Kedusha. It's just that we don't want people to get misled and to start using Kinyan Chalipin for Kedusha. Therefore, with the Rabbanon, they did away with it. But in the Torah, it's really the same. So Tosfos' sheet is really echoing the theme of the Taz, that there's one standard of Kinyan Kesef in Kol Torah Kula. It's a Kinyan Kesef that's effective for Kedusha. It's a Kinyan Kesef that's effective for Karka. The words Kicha, Kicha Misteh from scream out loud and clear according to Taisus, like they do according to the Taz. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes in the Chazishos in Berkei that if a person tries to give a ring to his Kala, Amanas Tahachzir, the woman will not be Mekudeshes even min HaTorah. The whole Kedushin is Batla Mevutal. Why is the Kedushin not good min HaTorah? So the Rambam writes, because she has nothing to walk away with. She has nothing to be nana with. She has nothing to enjoy from the bed. She walks away from the... If she walks away to the Yichud room wearing a ring, so she has something that's worth the pruta to enjoy. If she walks away with nothing, so even though she had an official Kinyan Kesef, but it's called the Kesef She'ein BaHano'ah. So I wonder what does that mean? So you have Nimeluim. By the Ktzais, by the Shishmaitz, of the Yavne Meluim, his parish in Evan Ezer, suggests that what the Rambam is telling us is really a fundamental yesod, that the standard, the definition of Kinyan Kesef for Karka and Kinyan Kesef for Kedushin are not identical. Kinyan Kesef for Karka is just merely Kesef. It has to meet the halachic criteria, it has to be an Asidus Kesef. The Lekeach has to give a Kesef, a Pruta to the Moicha, and that's it. Does the Moicha have to be able to use that Kesef for anything? Does the Moicha have to be able to show anything from that kesef? Nothing. So it was official mice and a seed as a kesef, that's good enough. So since we pass in the halacha that matana minas lahachzer ishma matana, that's considered to be a matana, so I did an official mice and a seed as a kesef, so it's all finished, deal done. Whereas when it comes to Kedushin, there's a difference there. When it comes to Kedushin, the rules are totally different. Kesef is not enough. And the Mishnah says Isha Nikras B'Kesef doesn't really mean that. What it means is that Isha Nikras B'Kesef Sheyesh B'Hana'ah. She has to be able to enjoy the Kesef. She has to have something to walk away with from the Chuppah. She has to have something real, tangible that she's Nana from. Otherwise, the Kedushin is not going to be Chal. There's a Dimin HaTorah that's part of the definition of Kedushin. Where that comes from is a different story. But according to the Avdim Meluim, they're radically different standards in terms of Kesef. So now, says the Avdim Meluim, we understand that Matana Manas Tahachzir is no good for Kedushin. Why is that? Because it's a Kesef. It's a dynasty that's a Kesef, but it's a Kesef. She'ein Bahano. So that's what the Gemara meant. That just as the woman can't be Mekudeshes B'Chalipin Min HaTorah, because there's no Hana, Chalipin, you get the pen, you give it right back. So too a ring that's given, even though I did it Hindi Mukham Zum and I said Matar is Kesef, I read the first mission of Kedushin, I said Isha Nikras B'Kesef, it doesn't matter. Since she doesn't have a Kesef, she'esh B'Hanoah, she's not going to be Mekudeshes even on the level of Deraisa. So we have a running Mechlekes here now. Taisa and the Rambam, what are the standards, what are the comparisons between Kinyan Kesef for Kedushin in contrast to Kinyan Kesef for Karka? So according to Taisus and according to the Taz, they seem to be pretty much the same, that you define Kesef, whatever it is, the Maisa Kinyan, if Matalmas Ox was good enough, everything's great. It's good for Karka, good for Kesef, for Kedushin, everything's the same. Whereas according to the Rambam, according to apparently the Sma, there are differences between the two. That one works with the guidelines of Kesef Sheish Bano, one doesn't. One works with the guidelines as a technical Maisa Kinyan, one works with the guidelines to a Kesef Shoshavius. They're not the same. They're working in their own different orbits. There's a Gzeir Shava, Kicha Kicha Misteafron. Kicha Kicha Misteafron just teaches us that the way to be kind of a woman is through Kesef. But just because the method is the same, just because the mechanism is the same, doesn't mean that all the lumdas is going to match up. There are going to be real differences between the definition of Kesef for Kedushin and Kesef for Karka.
If Kesef is satisfied by just barely giving a pruta, how much hana is there in giving?
You're going to
the chuppah, and here's something
that's worth half a penny. Is a hana's pruta? That's the amount of hana that you need. Or other marini, $1,000, how much does it have to be? Kach nemra locha, it has to be a shiva pruta. So we move on to the next Kenyan, the Kenyan of Shtar. So we also run into a similar idea as to how to compare the notion of a Shtar to a Shtar Kedusha. We know what the same Mishnah Kedusha says, Isha Nikdeis B'Kesef B'Shtar V'Via. And we find the Mishnah later on in the first Berach of Kedushin that Karka is Nikta B'Shtar. So what is the similarity or differences between the Shtar for Kedusha and the Shtar for Karka? How do we know that an Isha is Nikdeis B'Shtar? How do we know Karka is Nikta B'Shtar? So the Mishnah says that Isha's nickname is Bishtar, that's derived from Xeris HaKosa, from the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says, V'yotzavi Beiso, V'holcha V'hoysa L'Isha Acher, that a woman gets divorced, and then she marries somebody, then she's permitted to marry somebody else. What's the method that she uses to get divorced? It's not we know. Pasuk Chumash, the Chos of Law, Sefer Krisus. So the Torah said, that's the only Shtar the Torah speaks about, Mamash Beferish, the notion of a Shtar Gerishin. So the Torah says that a woman is Megureshes Bishtar. So we have a special hekesh, we have a comparison. Torah Shema Peh tells us that Mayitzia Bishtar Afavaya Bishtar. So too, when she marries, she can also get married through the method of Shtar. So that's for sure a Dimin HaTorah Kiddush Shtar. How do we know that there's a concept of being Kona Karka Bishtar? Where does that come from? So the Gemara Kiddushin also has Pesukim for that. Those are not Pesukim from the Chumash, those are Pesukim from the Navi Yirmiyahu. V'chosum HaSefer V'chosum V'chedim, a whole Pesuk in Yirmiyahu that describes the buying of Karka in the days of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He was given a Nevuah by Kiddush Baruch Hu to go buy some land right before the Churban. So it's a bad time to invest in real estate. So the Kastim were there, the Bavlim are on the gates of Yishalayim, and the Rosh Hashanah tells him, go buy some land and some fields. So he says to the Rosh Hashanah, it's not the right time to do this. So the Rosh Hashanah says, that's the Nevuah. The Nevuah is that you should buy land because that land is going to be very valuable someday. 70 years from now, when Klai Yisrael comes back, so there's going to be new land. There's going to be a new base of Mikdash. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyahu, tell all the Klai Yisrael that they should have a moon and there's going to be a Geula in 70 years from now. So it's kedai to go buy land right now. So the Pesukim describes the whole Din of Amunus, how he goes to the Sefer and he writes, he brings Eidim and he signs the Shtar and they put the Shtar away. A whole story in the Pesukim of Yirmiyahu. So it says there that the Chosim is saying the Chosim. So the Gemara says from here we derive that Kinyan Shtar is a Kinyan for Karka. So the Rishonim point out that this is a Din in HaTorah, even though it's being quoted from Pesukim and Yirmiyahu, the Pesukim and Yirmiyahu are just telling you, they're just relating to you historically how Lamaisa, the mechanism of Kinyan Karka is. But this is clearly a Din in HaTorah. There's a concept of the Kinyan Shtar Midir Haisa. So what is the relationship between the Kinyan Shtar of Kedusha and the Kinyan Shtar of Mechira? Is there any relationship at all? So here the Gemara comments in the first Berachah says Kedusha, that there's some basic discrepancy between these two shtaras as to who writes the shtar. When it comes to a shtar mechira, so it's the mocher writes the shtar. He writes on the piece of paper, sadeh mechura lecha. Or if I want to give you a matana, sadeh nesunu lecha. Whereas when it comes to kedushin, so it's not the woman who writes the shtar to the man, even though she's selling herself, so to speak, isha nikneis b'kesef, she's selling herself to the husband. So yet the husband is the one who writes the shtar. He writes harem kadesh something on a piece of paper and hands it to her. So the Gemara asks the guy, how can that be? So l'chor, they should be the same. We should decide who writes the shtar. Is the das kona the one who writes the shtar, or is the das mocha the one who writes the shtar? Is the person who's purchasing, like in the case of kedushin, or is the person who's selling, like in the case of karka? So why is this phenomenon? What is this all about? The Gemara says, no, it's based on psukim. Because when it comes to Kedusha, the Torah says, ki yikach ishisha, so he has to be the one to acquire her. So he has to be active party. When it comes to Mechira, the Torah speaks of mocha mechazasel. The Torah always speaks about the mocha, ki yimkor ish. The person is always, ki simkor mimkor amisach. The person is doing the selling, mocha mechazasel. So he's the one who writes the shtar. What is that? Just tam exerce kosel? Just based on psukim? Or is there some deeper lumdus to this? So here, the Mefarshim point out, that l'chora, it's based on the following. Who does it make sense, misvar? Who should be the one who's writing the shtar? So the question is, well, what is a shtar? What is exactly this kinyan of a shtar? So l'chora, the idea of a shtar is as follows. The Rambam begins with his mechir by saying, ena mekach nikta bedvarim. You can't acquire objects with just words alone. I can't just say to you, I want to sell you my house. Okay, it's a done deal. That doesn't mean anything. I have to do some kind of a basic kinyan. Just das alone. We spent a lot of time about das and how important das is, but das doesn't carry the day. It's das plus some kind of a basic kinyan. But let's say I can express my das in writing. I don't just say my das. I really, really am going to bedaiti. Words alone, words are cheap. But if I take the words and I put it down in writing and I hand it to you, the document, this is a much more serious level of expression of das. So that's the idea of a kinyan shtar. A shtar is a gemir's das. A shtar is the das of the person who's making the kinyan being expressed in words. Not in words, said words, but written words. So if that's the case, that a shtar is supposed to be basically the written expression of a person's das, so whose das are we going to focus on? So this is where Kedushin and Mechira part ways. When it comes to Mechira, as we spoke about the first couple of Shiurim, the main das, any Mechira is the das Mechira. Now you may need das kind of also, maybe, depending on the Ktzais and others, but das Mechira, sure you need. If you try to affect the Kenyan without das mocha, we call that geneva. So you take something away from somebody and he's not masked. So that's not a Kenyan, that's stealing. So comes the loch and says, since the das mocha is the key das, therefore it would make sense that his das has to be the one that's put onto the paper. So he has to be the one to write the paper. It doesn't matter. Lekech is playing a very passive role in mechiros. So umocha mechaz also. So I have to be, I'm the mocha, I have to be the one to express my das to write the shnah. So even though it's true that the woman is transferring herself over to the husband, but the Torah formalizes the Kedushin in a very, very different way. The Torah says that the chalos of Kedushin is really the husband doing everything. That the wife doesn't do anything. She doesn't even say anything. She stands on the chuppah and quiet. So the husband has to do everything. So the Torah is mechadish that even though in other kinyanim it's the mocher who's playing the critical role, here it's the kohen, it's the lekech, it's the man who's playing the critical role. And therefore it would make sense that he's the one who has to write the shtar. So the fact that in one case the shtar is written by the mocher and in one place is written by the kohen, this is not just a gezeira sekasa, just arbitrary. This is because there's a fundamental difference as to who is applying the das for each of these kinyanim. So the mice, there is a kinyan of shtar, there's a kinyan of shtar for kedushin, and a kinyan of shtar for mechiras karka, albeit they do function in different ways. Then there's a third kinyan for karka, and that's the kinyan chazoka. So kinyan chazoka, the Gemara explains, means when you have a sack in the karka, you do a little bit of a tikkun in the karka, you fix up the land a little bit. So the Gemara calls no godu parats. The person either makes a fence around the land, something has to be knocked down the land to make fix it up, or he's got to dig holes in the ground to stop planting, whatever he does, something which is the purpose of tikkun hakarka. So tikkun hakarka is considered to be a kinyan chazaka. So this is where kedushin and mechiras for sure part ways. There is no din of kinyan chazaka for a woman. You don't say that if the person wants to marry this girl, so he says okay, he'll give her a manicure or something. He'll do a tikkun hakarka. He'll do something in her to make a tikkun. So that's considered to be a kinyan chazaka. So that's a late son. That's a joke. Why is that such a joke? So Tysus in the beginning says Kedushin is bothered with, why is it a joke? Why don't we find that such a kinyan exists? So Tysus says, we make kinyanim. So Tysus says, well, there is a gzera shava of kicha kicha mister Ephron. So the Torah tells us that the way the Yakona karka is the way the Yakona and Isha. So why don't we make the following extension and say, just as the Gemara learns out from Psukim Exeris HaKosov, there's a kinyan chazaka, that's a din derais, a kinyan chazaka by karka. So let's carry that over to Isha as well. Have a kinyan chazaka work for Isha. So Taisa says that's a ridiculous kasha. Taisa says the Gezeris Shava doesn't mean that all the kinyane karka carry over to Kedushin. There never was such a Gezeris Shava. Gezeris Shava is that the specific kinyan kesef carries over. Kicha kicha mister Ephraim, because the pasuk is talking about kesef asode kach mimeni. So says Taisus, we know lo shemana davazem yoyelim. There's a comparison between isha and karka. That's not true. The comparison is vis-a-vis kinyan kesef. All the kinyan, the dinim of kinyan kesef carry over from karka to isha, but other kinyanim don't. Says Taisus haraya. If it would really be true that all the kinyanim carried over, so then why does the gemara need a special pasuk to tell me that a woman is mekudeshes b'shtar? Was that gzeiras hakosav? Gzeiras hakosav of a yotzav ha'isa that a woman can be mekudesh b'shtar? What did he need that pasuk for? Typically, that you could buy karka with shtar. That we already know. So when you're young, you could buy karka with shtar. So what do you say? Oh, kicha kicha mistei Ephron. So Tai says the answer is because it's a joke. There is no such gzeiras shav. The gzeiras shav is kicha kesef. We call it kicha kicha mistei Ephron, but the real gzeiras shav is kesef kesef mistei Ephron. Kicha the kesef is mistei Ephron, not other kinyan. So Baruch Hashem, there's no kinyan chazaka under the chuppah. But for karka, there really is a kinyan chazaka. So what exactly is the kinyan chazaka? So the Gemara derives from psukim. There's a series of psukim. There's a concept called kinyan chazaka. What exactly does it mean? So the Gemara gives a few examples, and basically all the examples seem to fall into the same category, what's called tikkun hakarka. There is another sugya that's also has the same word called chazaka, also in the context of karka, which seems to, according to some Rishonim, be very much related to the sugya. That's what's called cheskes gimel shanim. the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Beva Basra. So the Mishnah opens up. We spent a lot of time talking about this for years. Beva Basra. The Mishnah opens up with a concept called Cheskes Gimel Shana. What does Cheskes Gimel Shana mean? Means I'm sitting on land for a certain amount of time, and you come to me and you say, "What are you doing on my land? It's been you claim it's been your land for the last 50 years." And I say, "Yes, it's true, but I bought the land from you." So you say, "What? Well, show me, bring me a proof, bring me aid, bring me a star, bring me a document, bring me something." And I say, "Listen, I don't have any documents. It's already been 10 years. I threw out all my papers, but I have aid them who can testify that I've been eating the fruit of this land for the last 3 years, and you've been around and you never complained." So that's what's called Cheses Gimushon. So if I can produce aid them to testify that for 3 years I've been living in the land, eating the fruit, doing what a person normally does, enjoying the land. So when you never protested, assuming you were around to protest, you had the ability to protest. So assuming you knew about it and you didn't protest, so then that's the din. That's the halacha called Cheses Gimel Shanim. So Cheses Gimel Shanim is a proof that I bought the land at some time. How did I buy the land? What mechanism of kidding did I use 3 years ago to buy the land? I have no idea. Kesef, shtach, whatever method of kidding karka works. So the Cheses Gimel Shanim is a proof that there was at one time a mechira. So the Rambam is a tremendous chiddush. The Rambam says, not only is Cheses Gimel Shanim a raya, is it a proof that there was a mechira, there was a kinyan at one time, but the achilas peiros, the eating of the fruit, which is usually synonymous with the proving there was a kinyan in the karka. So the Rambam writes, the achilas peiros itself can serve as a kinyan as well. Let's say, we're not arguing as to who owns the land. I agree, I want to sell you the land. I'm interested in selling the land. We bring two Adim here, and we say, let's make a Kenyan. Let's do something. How am I cutting the land? How are you going to be cutting the land? So we go through the list of Kenyanim. Kesef, you don't have any cash on you right now. Shtar, can't find the pen, can't find a piece of paper. Chazoko, there's nothing really to do in the land. The land's in good shape. So what are we going to do? So we're stuck. So we want to make sure that you're cutting the land. How do you do that? So you say, no problem. I'm going to go down to the land. I'm going to take some of the fruit. I'm going to eat some of the fruit. After all, only owners eat fruit. A person doesn't own the field. He's not going to go down and eat the fruit. So this is, again, everyone's agreeing. There's no fight here. There's no din Torah. I'm authorizing you to go eat the fruit. For two Adam watching that you're going to eat the fruit. So you go over and you pluck some apples off the tree and you eat some of the apples. So that's called Achilles Peiros. So the Rambam is a Chiddush Gadol. The Rambam writes, that's also a Kenyan. That's called a Kenyan Chazocha. Kenyan Chazocha? That's not a Kenyan Chazocha. Kenyan Chazocha that the Gemara always speaks about is a Tikkun HaKarka. So the Rambam says, yeah, there are two different methods of Kenyan Chazocha. It's either Tikkun HaKarka or Achilles Peiros of the Karka. So the Ravid vehemently disagrees with that Rambam. The Ravid says, we learned all of Chazit about them, and we never found that Achilles Peiros is a Kenyan Karka. Achilles Peiros is a proof that there was once a Kenyan Karka, and it was done for 3 years, and the other person didn't protest, and there were 8 of them. Also, then we can assume that there probably was a Kenyan Karka of Kesef Shtach Chazaka 3 years ago. But to say that the Achilles Karka itself is a method of Kenyan, lo shemana davaz emiyalam. It's a major machlekes to Rambam and the Rebbe. So where is that Rambam found? So that Rambam is found in Uchas Mechira, Aleph Halacha Tes Vav. I do not remember every Rambam in Uchas Mechira, but I'll tell you there's only one reason why I remember that Rambam, and it has to do with Kerbiyama. Remember this one? Figure this one out. I think the schedule is different, so may not even be able to figure it out. When I learned Chesed Batim, when I was in Keren B'Yavne. So we spent a lot of time in this round. Aleph Halacha Tezbav. So Aleph Tezbav is 1:15. 1:15 is lunch in Keren B'Yavne. So I don't know if some things haven't changed. 1:15 is lunch in Keren B'Yavne. So that's a time for achila. That's the time for eating. So that was the way the Bachim used to remember. With everybody, I don't know if everyone knew every other Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, but this Rambam everybody in Yeshiva knew. Aleph Halacha Tezbav. So getting back to the story. So the bottom line is, so we have three mechanisms for kinyan karka. So one of them is kesef, one is shtar, one is chazaka. The fact that these three kinyanim exist, everyone agrees to. Some of the parameters of kesef are questionable. How exactly shtar works, how exactly chazaka works. A lot of things are up for grabs. But the basic tzura of these three kinyanim are clear, and they appear to be pretty much deraisa. The Gemara is deriving these from a whole series of psukim. Then there's another kinyan that really combines together some of the things we spoke about last week and this week, and that's as follows. Normally, we said that kinyanim mitaltun have their kinyanim, and kinyanim karka have their kinyanim, and they're really separate and distinct from one another. But every once in a while, you can use one kinyan to knock off both. You can kill two birds with one stone. That's the Mishnah in the first parak of Maseches Kedushin, where the Mishnah speaks about what's called the kinyan agav. The Mishnah says, now what if I want to sell you two things at the same time? I want to sell you land, and I also want to sell you a mitaltun. And the metaltlin, the Gemara concludes, need not even be on the land. So I want to sell you karka in China, let's say metaltlin in New Jersey. That's fine. How do you do that? So the Gemara says you don't have to make two separate and distinct kinyanim. All you have to do is make a kinyan on one, the one being the karka. You have to make a kinyan on the karka. And agav, the karka, the metaltlin are going to be nikta as well. So this is already a tremendous chiddush, milchus kinyanim, that I can, in effect, acquire something without really doing anything. I didn't do anything to the metaltlin. I didn't do a maos, I didn't do meshicha, agbah, I didn't do anything. I sold you karka, but as long as I sold you the karka and the metaltlin at the same time, so that's okay. That's what's called a kinyan agav. How in the world does this work? Where does this come from? What's the source for this? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk for this. The Gemara, in the first part of Kedushin of Chavav, quotes a pasuk. But the problem is the pasuk is not from Chumash. It's a pasuk tucked away in Divrei Hayomim. V'yitel ha-maviyam, Kesef, Ezov, McDonald's, Ari, Betzush, Yehuda. The Psukim described the transfer of ownership of cities, of land, of karka, together with Kesef, Ezov, gold and silver. So the Gemara derives a din from here, that the method of Kidyon is Kidyon Agav. You make a Kidyon on the karka, on the Arim, and then Agav, the karka, you're going to buy the metaltlin. So the Rishonim are perplexed from this drasha, very strange drasha. Possibly tucked away in Divrei Hayom. A lot of us never heard of Divrei Hayom, never heard of Psukim in Divrei Hayom, myself included. I said, this is the source for the Kinyan Agav, very strange. So Taisus has 2 days about this. How do you understand this Malka for Kinyan Agav? So one place Taisus writes, they think that Kinyan Agav is only Midrabbanan. They don't believe it's a real Kinyan in the Torah. So the Kinyan Deraisa are Kesar, Shtachazaka, Mos Kindness, Mashiach maybe. We know what the Kinyan Deraisa are. This is a made up Kinyan Midrabbanan, just to make life easy for people. Made a Kinyan Deraisa. The Psukim quote is Din Deraisa, but it's not a real Din Deraisa. And then another Din Taisus says, no, it's Mamsha Din Deraisa. It's a real Din Midrabbanan, Kinyan Agav. So where does it come from? It comes from Divrei Hayom. It's hard to believe. So that's already the same way we said about Kinyan Shtar. Kinyan Shtar also is not a pasuk in Chumash, it's a pasuk in Yom Yehov. So the Gemara says in many places that there are many dinim that are quote unquote learnt out from Sukkim and Nevi'im Uksuvim that are not really learnt out from Nevi'im Uksuvim. The Gemara says that you can't learn out a din from Nevi'im Uksuvim. The din is Halacha Moshe Messina. The din was part of the Tosh Bapeh. It's been around for thousands of years, from days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Psukim are referring to pre-existing dinim. The Psukim are not teaching us the dinim. The Psukim, when you write you write a history book, you're writing a story book, you're writing a novel, so in the middle of the book, so you're describing certain realities. So one of the realities is the Psukim are describing a story of such and such person bought the metalplan, so he bought it through Kinyan Agav. So you see that the Kinyan Agav was a Kinyan that was being practiced in the days of the Ksuvim. So the fact that in Sifrei HaKodesh, Kisrei HaKodesh is describing the existence of such a Kinyan, that means this Kinyan was a valid Kinyan. Where did it come from? There are a lot of dinim that we don't know exactly where they came from. Many of them are Halacha Moshe Messinai. So come one day and Taisin says that Kinyan Agav is a Kinyan Deraisa. It's no less effective in our Torah than any other Kinyan. So we have 2 days in Taisin. Taisin in Bava Kama argues that Kinyan Agav is only Midrabbanan. Taisin in a few days, if I'm not mistaken. Whereas Taisin in Afhein Kedushin argues, no, that it's Mamash a real Kinyan Deraisa. Okay, so Machlokes, Maisa, any real Nafkamina, who cares that Deraisa, Midrabbanan, Maisa is going to work anyway. So who cares whether it works with Torah, whether it works with Midrabbanan? So the Taisin points out that he thinks it's a tremendous Nafkamina. Because the Rambam has a comment about certain other kinyanim, certain other items that to be sold. The Rambam writes that whenever you have something that's only a kinyan midirabbanan, so dinim derabbanan generally were instituted between Jews. They weren't instituted for goyim. That the chacham were not in the business of making takanas for goyim. So therefore, the Rambam, the Ritva writes that if you have a certain type of kinyan that's only midirabbanan, so then that kinyan is not going to be effective for goyim. So the Tzaddis raises the question, will Kinyan Agav make sense between Jews and Goyim? So he says, it depends. If it's a Kinyan Deraisa, so then it will work. And we don't know there are any differences of Kinyan between Jews and Goyim. The only difference we know is the Kesef Mashiach story that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. But other Kinyanim, Lechari should work between Jews and Goyim. The Imamunus apply for Goyim also to a certain extent. So comes the Tzaddis and says that if Kinyan Agav is a Kinyan Deraisa, it's not going to work between Jews and Goyim. If Kinyan Agav is only a Kinyan Midrabbanan, then maybe it's not going to work between Jews and Goyim. Takanas Hacham only for Jews, not for Goyim. So Manaf Kamina, who cares? So he says, we care. Because going back to what we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, very often we have to buy and sell things to Goyim. Let's say, for example, Mechiris Bechor Behemet Torah. Or let's say, for more practical for us, Mechiris Chametz. So we want to make sure that the Goy owns the Chametz. Can we invoke the Kinyan Agav or not? Does that make any sense? So if we could, that would be a very, very helpful Kinyan for Mechiris Chametz purposes. Why? Because a Kinyan Karka of Kesef, that for sure works for Goy. He wants to have the Farish. So let's say the best way, the easiest, most effective way for me to be mocking all the Chametz to a Goy. So I'll sell him a piece of land. This one doesn't have to be a big piece. I'll rent him. I don't even have to sell him a small piece of land. And I'll say, by the way, I got that small piece of land. I'm going to be mocked to you with $10 million worth of schnapps and pizzas and all my catering, all the food my catering establishment. So if Kinyan Agav works for Goyim, that'll be a great solution to the Mechiris Chametz dilemma. So the Ketzai says he's not sure it's going to work. He says, because if Agav is only midi Rabbanan, then it won't work for Goyim. And then he has another problem. If Agav is only midi Rabbanan, then maybe it's not going to work for Mechiras Chametz altogether, because Mechiras Chametz is a deraisa. You want to make sure that you don't own the Chametz on a level min HaTorah. So Agav is going to fall short. So therefore the Ketzai says, we throw Agav in for good luck, but we do Mechiras Chametz, we put it in just, maybe it works, but we're not so convinced that it works. Therefore we're going to have to search around for some other kind of a Kenyan that we have to, you know, we provide other Kenyanim to make sure to cover ourselves on many, many different bases. But Kenyan Agav would have theoretically been a great Kenyan, lead to that it would have been a Kenyan Deraisa. So in the Shnei Mechira, when we sell the Chametz to the Goy, we do mention Kenyan Agav, and maybe, yeah, maybe no. If it works, Mata, if it doesn't work, so nothing lost. I remember this is Rabbi Willick's favorite line of the Shnei Mechira, if I didn't, because he had the Shnei Mechira obviously written into English, so he had the lawyers go over it and try to get as perfect wording as possible. So apparently the legal term for Kinyan Agav is by dint. So I didn't know what that word meant. I'm not sure that anyone else knew what that word meant, but that's apparently the term that's used to describe. So every year, it's going on for 30 years already, every year when he reads the Shtayim Chira out loud to Mr. Brown, so the Rabbanim standing there, so he reads every word, and then we get to in. And the only, as Rabbi Willick could do, by dint, you know, he makes his emphasis on that word. So you should just know that we're doing Kenyan Agav. But if the Ketzais was sitting there, so he would say, by dint, by shmint, whatever, it may not even work. The whole thing may be a brach levatala, but we throw it in the SSA. So anyway, so we have a little bit of a background as to what the major Kenyanim are for Karak and Metadlin, a little bit of an overlap between the two in terms of Kenyan Agav. Hopefully, with Shem the next year, we'll talk about the next Kenyan, which is the Kenyan that really overlaps between the two. That's the Kenyan Chalipa, the Kenyan Sudar, which has a whole, really a whole world in and of itself. Mitzvah next time. So next week, there's not going to be a next weekend, so there won't be a shiur next Sunday. From Mitzvah the following Sunday, we'll be back on.